Well, what's up, everyone? My name is Ryan Levis. I'm a Norfolk campus pastor here at Grace, and we are at my dad's house right now. Dad, do you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Sure, Ryan. My name is Wynn Levis. I've been going to Grace Bible Church for about 15 years with my lovely bride, Ann. I've got three beautiful daughters, and I also got a son, Ryan.
Yes, I am his son, and we do recognize today that it's Father's Day, and so we wanted to take some time just to honor fathers today. So by doing that, I wanted to honor you as my dad and maybe go down memory lane a little bit and connect in that way, even as we also recognize that Father's Day is not the easiest day for many people. It's also a day that we do honor parents and fathers in particular. So we were going to share a couple memories that we have and then maybe what we appreciate about each other. So I was going to go first. I got a memory.
Oh, no.
From growing up with you. We watched a lot of sports together, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did.
One of our favorite things to do was during the March Madness time of almost every year of school. My birthday is in March, and so my dad would come and he'd take me out of school on one of those first weekends on a Friday or Thursday, and we would watch one of the games at a local restaurant. Sometimes it was AJ Gators off Independence Boulevard or Holland Road or wherever that was. So we watched a lot of sports growing up. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite memories, though, is when I started getting really into soccer. I started watching soccer in high school. Mm-hmm. And you learned this really good trick. It's called a legal nap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby.
A legal nap. Because if my dad on a Saturday, when he had all these chores to do and my mom had a honey-do list and everything, if he was found on his bed taking a nap, that was illegal. That was not cool. But if you came and watched a soccer game with your son and was on the couch and sleeping, that was a legal nap.
I love those legal naps.
Yeah,
they
you
were
did.
Awesome.
You took a lot of them. You took a lot of them. And I loved every second watching those games with you, and it was awesome.
That's great, Ryan. Well, I got a lot of stories about you, but I'm just going to tell a little bit, right?
Okay, yeah. That works.
We grew up, you're my only son. I got three beautiful daughters. So I started you like out hitting a baseball at 18 months and playing Little Tykes basketball at 2. And so we played basketball all the way up, 6-foot hoop, 10-foot hoop. I coached you for 8 or 9 years. And I hate to tell you this, we played hundreds of times, but most of the times up till 14, I let you win. Did you know that? Did you know that?
No, as a 2-year-old, I felt real good.
Yeah, you felt right. Really
I was very confident as a 5-year-old.
But then you got to high school. And you started getting taller. You could shoot. You could play. And you started beating me regularly.
I remember that.
You remember that. And then when you were in 10th grade, went to the rec center, and you were torching me. You were blocking all my shots. I couldn't shoot anything. Couldn't make anything.
I didn't want to say anything, but you were slowing down.
I was slowing down. Just a little bit. A little bit. So then I took the shot. I went up for the rebound. I felt really good. I got way up there. I got the ball. And then, ow, I broke my thumb.
I remember that.
That was the last time I ever played.
That's the last time we played one-on-one.
That's the last time we played one-on-one.
That was the Princess Anne Rec Center.
I was done, yeah.
Oh, okay. So now it's my turn to share, I think, something I appreciate about you.
Okay.
So many things I could say, and we have this tradition in our family where on a Father's Day or a birthday, we share what we appreciate about people. But this year, and maybe also because of the context of this, I'm just really thankful for the way that you've impacted me spiritually. Mm-hmm. I love hearing the story of how you became a follower of Jesus and experienced the grace of God for the first time. Not necessarily being raised in a home where you were taught to have a relationship with Christ. Your older brother, who's 10 years older than you, he came back from a Europe trip where he had heard the gospel. And you guys were playing ping pong, and he was kind of mentoring you as a younger brother. And he shared
the gospel over ping pong.
He shared about Jesus with you. And ever from that point, you've been walking with him. And I've loved to see how that just genuine relationship has impacted our family. I feel like parents feel a lot of pressure, right, to do like all these devotionals and train their kids in a certain worldview and send them to the right schools and make sure they're protected and everything, and all those things are helpful. But I just think your genuine love for God and your love of us and your love of our mom, all of that has been such a blessing to me and is a huge reason why I'm a follower of Jesus and a huge reason why I do what I do. So
that's great.
Thank you, Dad.
Well, can we have a moment of silence? That was amazing. Oh, sorry. No, that was really good. I feel really good right now, Ryan.
You should.
I made a list of all the things I appreciate about you. It was 17. and I'm not going to share them right now. I'll send them to you in the mail.
Okay.
But I think there's a lot. And one of the things that you're a real people person. You're really kind and considerate and caring. And I appreciate that about you. You're also fun and fun-loving and actually one of my best friends, which is great to say about you as a son. I love that. And to see how you've grown spiritually, you're wise behind your ears, which is really exciting.
Behind my ears?
Your ears, yes, behind your ears. You're wise behind, beyond your years. I'll say it slowly. Yeah, there you go. So you have that wisdom, and you also have that ability that God has gifted you in teaching His Word. You're a gifted teacher of Scripture, which is thrilling for a dad. But I think the thing I've realized, especially as you become a pastor of Grace, that I appreciate maybe the most is your genuine humility that you have. And I think that's why I think God has worked so mightily in your life, and especially here at Grace. And I've seen that humility. And I do remember that saying this to you. I don't know if you remember this, but the only thing we really have to offer other people is Jesus flowing through our broken lives. And I've seen that in you.
It's really all we have to offer.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've learned that from you, mm-hmm. for sure. Really, everything we have is a gift. Everything mm-hmm. we have to offer others is Him working through our brokenness. So that's actually what the sermon's going to be a little bit about today.
Who knew? I mean, wow. That is something. Who's giving the sermon today? Who's giving?
A really awesome dude.
Yeah, a really awesome dude. I know
you do.
Okay.
Yeah. You appreciate 17 things about
him. Oh, that guy. Okay.
But thanks for sharing this time with me, Dad. And I appreciate you so much. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Oh, I expect a good gift, right?
We're here now in the new Norfolk campus building. We are getting so excited about this space here. It looks amazing. I'm right now in the lobby by the cafe behind me. And we're so excited, really, just to be together here in the next few weeks. It's going to be so good to kick things off in this new space and to see how God's grace is going to continue to change lives. But today we are continuing in this sermon series, The Story of Hope. And that piece of advice that my dad often talks about, this idea of Jesus working through our broken lives, is the perfect introduction to the message today. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 1, and it's going to bring out this idea of Jesus working through us. Last week, Eric talked about Abraham, which is actually a few hundred years before where we're going to dive in Joshua chapter 1. So I just want to give us a little bit of context for what's going on here before we read our passage today. God has promised to Abraham that He's going to give the Israelite people a land. And after the Israelites come out of Egypt, they're rescued from slavery. They wander in the wilderness for about 40 years, and they're led by this guy, Moses. Now, as soon as they're about to enter into the land that God has promised them, Moses dies and Joshua takes over. And that's where we're diving in right now. We're diving in. Joshua is taking over from Moses, who's died, and he's leading them in to the promised land. He's leading the Israelites. And we dive in Joshua chapter 1, and this is what the passage says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will expand from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. That's the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There's so many different aspects of this passage that we could focus on. We could focus on all these incredible promises that God is giving and these commands that God is giving Joshua to be strong and courageous, to obey God's law, the fact that God is going to be with him. He will never leave you or forsake you. Even just the idea that God is fulfilling hundreds of years later his promises to Abraham that he would give him a land. All these things are happening in this chapter. But today I want to focus on something a little bit different. I want to focus on how this passage connects to the broader story of hope that God is working in the world in this time of Joshua. Now, I think sometimes when we read a passage like this, we're tempted to make a passage like this about ourselves. We're tempted to do that pretty much every time we're reading the Bible, and sometimes it can be helpful. But today, I want to talk about how this passage might even be about someone else, and that person is Jesus. That person is Jesus. You see, I'm so tempted to make things about myself. I was looking on Facebook the other day, and one of my friends was filming a video about a lot of the stuff that's been happening recently. The riots around race, police brutality, political issues that are all kind of boiling to the surface all right now. And he was posting kind of a little bit something that was a little bit critical towards folks who've been speaking up about it. And I've been speaking up about it in some different ways. And immediately when I'm watching this video of my friend, I think he's talking about me. I think he's frustrated with me. He's talking about the post that I made. And so the next few days, I'm thinking this guy's upset with me. But then I go to him and I ask him, hey, I noticed that you posted this video. Was that about some things that I had said? You know, I'm sorry if so. I'm sorry that you got frustrated with me. And he goes, Ryan, I didn't even see what you posted. I have no idea what you're even talking about. I was not criticizing you at all. This had nothing to do with you. And yet, I was over here thinking all of this was about me. And I think we're all tempted to do this in our lives. We make it about us. And specifically, this comes out when we read the Bible. We want to read a passage like this and say, okay, I'm going to be strong and courageous. Okay, I'm going to obey God's law. I'm going to rest in this promise that God goes with me. But I think this passage is also about the bigger story. And so I just want to share with you three ways that I think this passage points to Jesus. The first way is that the name Joshua is actually the name that Jesus is named after. The name Joshua in Hebrew means the Lord saves. And in Aramaic, this name is Yeshua, and in Greek, it is Jesus, which is in English how we say Jesus, Jesus. So this connection is not often made in the New Testament, and it's not often made when we talk about Jesus, but there's something going on here that Joshua is representing who Jesus later will be, the one who saves on behalf of God, the one who comes to show God's strength in the midst of his people. Joshua is pointing us to that day when Jesus comes. The second way I think we see Jesus in this passage is that we see Joshua replacing the figure of Moses. Joshua comes after Moses, who's died, and Joshua is now the leader of the people. Now, Moses is the representative of the Old Covenant, the covenant that God makes with the Israelites. And Jesus is the one who creates a new covenant. He comes after the law of Moses, and he fulfills the law of Moses and brings in a new age when all those who have faith in him through his death and his resurrection, we can have a relationship with God, not based on the law, but based on the work of Jesus. Joshua replacing Moses here is a symbol of Jesus replacing Moses, Jesus replacing the old covenant, this way that we would relate to God through a series of codes and rules. No, Jesus has died and rose again so that we could be filled with God's presence and have a relationship with God on a basis of a new covenant. So, Jesus is named after Joshua. Jesus comes after Moses just like Joshua. And I think the third one is similar to the second, but I think it's unique. These verses that we've just read are in Joshua chapter 1, and Joshua is actually the sixth book that comes in the Bible. Now, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, these five books are often called the books of Moses. Actually, in the New Testament, when Jesus or another figure refers to Moses, they oftentimes are referring to one of these first five books. Now, we come into Joshua chapter 1, and we're here in this part of the story. And Joshua, the book of Joshua, comes right after these first five books of Moses. I think we're seeing that Joshua, again, is replacing this covenant. He's replacing the law in the same way that Jesus comes to fulfill the law for you and for me. I love how these three aspects of Joshua chapter 1 are pointing us to Jesus, and I love how both for those of us who are followers of Jesus, maybe you've been walking with him for a long time, maybe you're brand new to following Jesus, you're not even sure you're a Christian, you're still exploring God, someone invited you to watch today. I'm so glad that you're here because this is the heart of the Christian message. This is the heart of what I want you to know about what Jesus has done for you. That this whole story, the story of the world, the story of history, is not ultimately about me or about you or about what we can do to please God and get ourselves closer to him. It's about what Jesus has done. It's about who Jesus is and what he's done to bring us into a relationship with God. I mean, think, I want to show us just in a few of these different encouragements from the passage how we can see Jesus and what he's done in that context. So we start with this first one. This first one is where God promises Joshua that he's going to be with him. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 9, do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This promise that God makes Joshua that he's going to be with him. Now, we could take this one-to-one ratio and say, man, this means that God's going to be with us. But the problem with that is that later in this story, the Israelites are going to be disobedient. They're going to break God's law. And God's presence, which dwells in the temple of Israel, is actually going to have to leave because of their sin, because of their failure. And so if we're going to rely on this promise, we can't rely on ourselves. We can't believe that God is going to be with us just because of our own obedience or because of our own lives. We have to rely on something outside of ourselves. And that's where Jesus comes in. Because apart from Jesus, we are cut off from the presence of God. Our failure, our sin separates us from God and this relationship we were meant to have. And so we see in this passage that Jesus, his death and resurrection, is what allows us to be filled with the presence of God, to have access again to his presence, to his power in our lives. So when you read Joshua chapter 1, I will be with you, I will never leave you or forsake you, that can be a promise for me and for you because of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done. I think about this when it comes to fatherhood today, right? All of the dads who are watching, we're so thankful for you, thankful for what you do to lead your families, lead your children. But if we just rely one-to-one on this promise that God is going to be with us as we shepherd our children, then we're going to fall short because we're going to realize that our failures separate us from the presence of God. But through Jesus, if you put your faith in him and rely on him and trust in him with your parenting, that's when you know that God goes before you and he goes with you as you rely on him because of Jesus. I think about these next verses that are telling us to be strong and courageous, right? God is telling Joshua to be strong, to be courageous. Verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. God here is repeating himself to Joshua. He's saying, Joshua, be persistent, be diligent, don't give up, be strong, be courageous. Now, the problem with this idea is that you and I, we can try to muster it up all we want to be strong, to be courageous, to look at the challenges in our lives and believe that God is with us and so we can do anything. The problem is, we're going to come up short. I don't know about you, but in my life, I'm consistently running out of energy. I'm consistently running out of courage. I'm consistently weak and afraid. Because apart from Jesus, apart from God working, Yahweh saves, the Lord saves in my life, I cannot be strong and courageous. I can't do this. And we're going to see in ways that the Israelites later in the story fail to be strong and courageous. That's why we can rely on Jesus in the midst of this. He was strong in our weakness. He was courageous in the midst of our fear. And so through him, we can experience that kind of life. I think about this when it comes to the issue that's being raised in a loud way right now, and that's racial injustice. So many of us have become more aware of this, and we're all working towards unity. We're all working towards a more just society. But in that fight and in that work of racial justice, we are going to get tired. We are going to get overwhelmed. We are going to get discouraged, and we're going to realize that we can't actually do as much as we hope we could do. What do we do in that moment? Do we just try to muster it up and pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and be strong and courageous and read a verse like this and get pumped up for a little bit longer before we wane? No, we have to rely on Jesus in our weakness. We have to rely on Jesus and the fact that the Lord is the one who delivers. The Lord is the one who goes before us in this fight. So first, we only can experience the presence of God if we rely on Jesus. We only can be strong and courageous in our weakness if we rely on Jesus. And then lastly, there is this part about the law, about relying on the law of God. Verse 7, "Be careful, Joshua, to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." Verse 8, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." Joshua here is told to be obedient, to follow God's law, and if he does, he will be prosperous and successful. Again, the problem here is that the Israelites, just like you and me, don't live up to this law. We could read this passage and we could say, man, I really want to meditate more on God's word, and that would be great. We could look at this passage and say, I want to be more obedient to God, and that would be great. But if we don't recognize our own limitations, if we don't read this and say, man, that's an incredible call, an incredible challenge, but in myself, I can't do that. We have to look to Jesus. He's the one who fulfilled God's law. He's the one who lived the life that we could not live. And so we look to Jesus. We rely on him in our weakness, in our brokenness, in our failure to live up to God's standard. I think about this with what's going on right now in quarantine, in shelter in place. So many of us, we've been struggling mentally, emotionally, and we've fallen back into old habits. I know in the recovery world, this has been a time of a lot of relapse for many of us. We've been falling back in to these old hurts, habits, and hangups, and it's discouraging, and it brings us to a point of despair and hopelessness. What if in that place you would hear a verse like this? Do not let the law of God depart from your mouth. Be careful to obey everything in it. What if that kind of verse didn't bring condemnation and a sense of, man, I'm not living up, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? What if instead we took that challenge and we looked to Jesus and we said, Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my forgiveness. Jesus is my strength, even when I cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. If you're struggling right now, if you've fallen back into old patterns, look to Jesus. He is your hope right now. He is the one who can deliver you, who can save you, who can forgive you, and then give you his grace so you can live for him. So praise God today that this story, this story of hope, is not about you and it's not about me. This story is about Jesus. And so this week, in the ways that you struggle, in the ways that you have challenges, in the ways that you are tempted to despair or be hopeless in yourself, look outside yourself. Look to the bigger story that God is writing in the history of the world. Rely on Jesus. Depend on him. Refocus on him and the fact that he is your hope. And let's rest this week in the fact that Yahweh, the Lord, is the one who saves. He was doing it in Joshua's time, and he did it in Jesus' time. And we can rely on the fact that he's going to do it even in our lack of courage and our lack of strength in this time now. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this story in Joshua chapter 1 and how it connects us to the broader story of what you're doing through your son, Jesus Christ. I pray for all of us, wherever we find ourselves on our spiritual journey, that we would be challenged and encouraged to look to Jesus today. He is our hope. He is the one who did it so we didn't have to, Lord. He is the one who lived the life we could not live. He died the death we deserved to die. And so, God, we put our faith in him. We put our trust in him today. And I pray that this week, when we get to a point where we just say, I can't, that you'd remind us that Jesus can. When we get to a point where we remember the fact that we couldn't, that, God, you would remind us that Jesus did. And Lord, would this bring joy? Would this bring power? Would this bring a sense of courage to us today so we could live always and forever in your will and in your grace? We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.